Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele in studio, keeping us rocking and rolling. At 520, we'll have on with us from he's the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Brad Evans, talking about this weekend's college and pro games. Also, we'll get his take on the Monday night game with the Saints and the Kansas City Chiefs, along with maybe a little baseball talk. I mentioned it before, but I'll bring it up again. Join Bobby, Deuce McAllister, and myself for a special edition of Sports Talk Saturday at Rouse's Market on Clearview in Metairie. Huddle up with us and come talk football. And if you can't make it there, hey, keep your dial tuned in to the Big 870. And if you're out on the road, come make some groceries and tell us hello. Get an autograph from Bobby and Deuce. And we'll be live at Rouse's Market at 717 Clearview Parkway, Saturday afternoon, 1 to 4 on WWL, and always live and free on the Odyssey app. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Jimmy from Gretna. Jimmy in the huddle with Mike and also Cullen.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, brother? Well, you walked away from the phone or what?
Oh, man, dude, I'm busy like you, dude.
Oh, you're okay. You don't have to go no farther than that.
I made a mistake. Cullen got on me. It's okay. Make it up to you guys. Listen, after Rouse's Saturday, Mike and Cullen, y'all come across the river to the West Bank, come out to Gretna Fest. Because of that mistake I made there, not being ready for the call, you guys come to the Croatian American Society Oyster Booth. I'm going to get y'all some oysters at the Gretna Fest. What? We're going to be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a bunch of bands. I know y'all are going to eat good at Rouse's, but come on over. You guys, tell Bobby, too. Come on over and look for the Croatian American Society Oyster Booth. We'll get y'all some oysters, the WWL crew, and make it up for that little mistake.
I appreciate it, brother. We'll try to take a ride.
And there's no Saints game Sunday, and they got a bunch of bands, Steve Miller Band, Fog Hat, Blue Oyster Cult. They're all Sunday when everybody else is watching other NFL games. Saints, I think, are Monday night, if I remember. But, yeah, look, listen, I called in about Davante Adams. I know there's a connection there. And, you know, we walked a fine line here since Sean Payton and Drew Brees are gone. And Gail Benz is a nice lady. She wanted to keep it in-house, right, with Dennis Allen, keep everything stable. Wanted to keep Pete Carmichael here. You know, in some ways, I look at that, Mike, as like, you know, holding on to the glory years in some ways. Dennis Allen's a great defensive mind, but, you know, Pete Carmichael maybe was a stretch. And now, you know, then Dennis Allen started bringing a lot of these Raiders guys and Davante Adams. We walked a fine line here between, like, what's comfortable and reality, you know, and you're talking about this Shane Lemieux guy. I think there's something to be said. The guy was a free agent, right? I mean, he didn't have any food, you know, proverbially no food on the table. And so there's a hunger there. You know, when you show up somewhere and it's all buddy-buddy, Dennis Allen, Pete Carmichael, Derek Carr, the Raiders, Dennis Allen, his old quarterback, Davante Adams, they're all buddy-buddy. Somebody recruited Davante. I'm all for the trade, Mike, if the price is right from a compensation standpoint. And that's the thing. I don't want us to go too hard in because, let's be honest here, we need these draft picks. It's not like we've been knocking these suckers out the park here. Nope. As a matter of fact, I feel like we've been striking out. So, I mean, draft picks are important. I mean, we might be in a rebuilding phase or a mediocrity phase, truth be told, for a little while here. And I'm excited about Kubiak, but again, I just feel like we need, if we were to make a splash, I'd rather be at O-line because I still feel like we have some depth issues there. But again, if the price is right and we can get this guy at a decent price, what my question to you is this, what do you think would be a decent price in your eyes as far as compensation on a draft pick level is concerned?
I wouldn't give you up a second for a 31-year-old receiver that'll turn 32 in December. I would give you up a third and a future consideration, meaning a later round pick. And I know the only team that I think would even think about a second round pick would be the Jets, and I'm not sure they go that route. I think at this stage, that Devontae's people are putting this out, that means, you know, he's basically told the organization, I don't want to play here anymore. Okay, so now I think you sort of lost a little bit of leverage from a compensation standpoint. Even though you sort of wondered a little bit once Antonio Pierce made the comments that he made over a week ago. But I think a third-round pick and a future consideration, which would be a later-round pick, I think is probably where most teams would go with this deal. Now, if you hold firm it with a second-round pick, you ain't going to get it. Maybe one team would. Maybe the Jets. But that would be about it. I don't see anybody. This is a wholesale sort of bidding war for Devontae. Some of that has to do with age. Some of that has to do with money. And so at this stage, I think the Raiders are probably looking for future draft choices, not players at this stage, to be honest with you, James. So I think they know that they're not one player away or two players away from being contenders. They play hard. I give the Raiders a lot of credit. They play really hard out there each and every week, but they don't have enough talent on both sides of the football to be contenders at this stage. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. When we come back, we'll have on with us the hosts of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL insider Brad Evans right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillia along with Cullen Steele in studio, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL insider Brad Evans. BetQL insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the BetMGM Tonight podcast for more analysis. Just search BetMGM Tonight wherever you find your podcasts. Brad, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. How you doing, bud?
Hola, amigos. I am splendid, my friends. Hope you guys are well.
We're doing good, doing good. Man, I'll throw you an easy one. Thursday night, Buccaneers and Falcons. Is the Falcons a point-and-a-half favorite here in this game?
Yeah, they are. Look, this thing is set up to be a barn burner, quite frankly. And I know Tampa Bay is just playing out of their minds right now. Baker Mayfield having a complete career renaissance. He has been magnificent in terms of accuracy, top five in the NFL in adjusted completion percentage. He's even making plays with his legs. He's got more rush yards than Patrick Mahomes, which is kind of crazy in my mind. And a guy's found the end zone on the ground as well. I think the key to this game is what version of the Tampa Bay defense are we going to see on the field, right? Atlanta's got their own defensive issues. They're outside the top 20 EPA per play defense on the season. They made a lot of investments on the defensive backfield end, Matthew Judon as well, to really help shore up, contain the ground game. But they've been subpar at best. And you look at Tampa, having Vita Vea, in uniform in the back of the field last week, a major shot in the arm. They have some question marks in that secondary, but they've been holding their own for the most part. I think this thing is going to be a barn burner, really, from start to finish. Would not be remotely shocked if the Bucs go in to the ATL and knock off the Falcons in that one and maybe really gain the upper hand potentially in that division. But, of course, the local team in your neck of the woods are going to keep a close eye on this one, to say the least.
We'll throw you a Friday night game, and I guess this is people pulling against Willie Fritz at Houston. But Houston and TCU, I think it's – last I saw, it's like 16 points or 16.5. TCU favorite over the Cougars.
Yeah, I mean, look at TCU. Great horny toads. I mean, the Horned Frogs aren't the greatest in the world right now in terms of, their level of overall production. They've been better offensively than defensively. They've been a bit of a sieve on the defensive end of things, evidenced by their number 73 ranking EPA per play defense in the nation, but top 30 in offense. And if you look at U of H, they're exactly the opposite, a team that not getting it done offensively, and that's usually a calling card of Houston coach, squads, and they just have not really delivered a whole lot of outstanding offensive performances, number 97 EPA per play offense, but defensively, they're top 35 in the nation overall. I think this game is going to be fairly closer than what the spread indicates. A lot of people are going to be laying down the chalk with TCU in this one, but you look at a lot of the advanced analytics that are out there, projections got this anywhere between about a 7 to 10 point victory for the Horned Frogs. So being a gambling man, I'm going to take the Cougs plus the points here, guys.
Saturday in a big game in the SEC, Missouri, Texas A&M, Missouri 4-0. Yeah. And if you look at that schedule, Brad, you get past A&M. I know you got Alabama on that schedule, but you might have quite a run there. Now, you can't take anybody for granted because we saw what happened in Oxford. And Kentucky clocked Ole Miss. Man, their defense was awesome in that game. But your thoughts on Missouri, Texas A&M? I think it's A&M 2-point favorite at home.
Yeah, it was 2.5 yesterday. It's come down just half a tick. There's some money coming in right now in the Missouri Tigers. I think a lot of people are following, at least the public eye, the ranking, right? You were talking about a top-10 team going on the road against a far lower-ranked squad in Texas A&M. But I think the Aggies are going to hold strong and hold tough, and I think they're going to defend their home turf and end up winning this game and covering as well. I actually played this Texas A&M minus a 2.5 there. The advanced data really sides with Missouri. I mean, they're a top 25 team in offense and in defense, according to the EPA data that's out there. Texas A&M, number 52 EPA per play offense, number 36 EPA per play defense. They got some question marks there at the quarterback position. But, again, I think, the fans in the stands are going to be rolling. It's going to be a raucous. It's going to be a rowdy crowd there in College Station. And I think the home team is going to feed off that energy and ultimately prevail on what could be a field goal boot at the end of regulation to win it. So give me Texas A&M squeaking by with a 3-point victory and squeaking by, gentlemen, with a cover there of the 2 points.
Tennessee and Arkansas, we saw Tennessee, and the score was no indication of the dominating play they had against OU, on that Saturday night. And it was certainly a big game for Josh Heupel. He can say, man, it's just a regular game. Come on. that ain't really the case. But they play Arkansas, 13.5-point favorite over the Hogs. Man, you wonder how many more hits can Sam Pittman take at Arkansas. Your thoughts on Volunteers, Arkansas?
Yeah, probably a lot of it's going to be in order because Tennessee is, arguably the best defense in the land. And, being the numbers nerd that I am, gentlemen, the EPA data once again backs up that belief. They are number one in the country in EPA per play defense, and they're also top 10 in EPA per play offense. So very efficient across the board. Arkansas is balanced, but in a negative way, 63 in EPA per play offense, 60 in the nation, EPA per play defense. Projections that I've seen have Tennessee win this by 20-plus. I know it's a road environment. It's going to be a packed house there in Fayetteville. But for me, it's not going to be woo pig suey. I think it's going to be a big kablooey issued by Tennessee as a result. So I'm going to lay the chalk there and the 13.5. Again, I think the Vols cover with relative ease on the road.
Man, that's pretty clever, Brad. I give you credit on that. Bills, Texans. This is basically a pick'em game. I think Texans maybe a 1-point favorite. It's one of the more intriguing Sunday games without the Saints on the schedule because the Texans, they haven't necessarily played real well. And I think for a lot of gamblers who people put money, the last thing you see stays in your mind. Buffalo didn't play well Sunday against the Ravens, but that's no indication of who they are. Your thoughts on Buffalo, Houston, and which should be a really good football game?
Yeah, it's going to be an outstanding game, guys. I really think this is going to be a higher scoring affair than most people believe. If I'm going to finish somewhere in the 50s in terms of the game total, I'll bet the over on it. Houston, I got to give them credit. As credit is due is the fact that they've overachieved defensively. I thought this was going to be probably a bottom third defense. But according to the EPA data right now, especially against the pass, they're top 12 in the NFL. And, you know, you got Josh Allen, really doesn't have a viable true blue number one target. I mean, you can make the argument it's Khalil Shakir. Maybe they're going to be in the market for Davante Adams. That would make a ton of sense. Or going to try to maybe potentially wrest away, you know, Tyreek Hill from their intra-divisional rival there in Miami, or maybe go after somebody else like a Deontay Johnson in Carolina. That is an area of need, but that individual is not on the team currently. James Cook has been the bee's knees. He's been excellent on the ground. The problem with Buffalo is they're so beatable right now in terms of their front line. They have been just boat raced and steamrolled by the opposition's ground game. I think, and this is a gut call, even though he didn't practice today, he was close to returning last week. The key to this game is Joe Mixon. If Mixon is on the field, he is fixing to do some damage. A guy that you know could get 25 or so touches, could exceed 100-plus combined yards, could find the end zone not once but twice. If it's Cam Akers, who's just so vanilla and May and mid in his stead, then I think this game is going to be closer than we all suspect. So keep your eye out on Joe Mixon. Right now I'm going to side with Houston in the belief that Mixon does play. And if he does play, that's a massive upgrade across the board offensively. And again, that defense may continue to overachieve and humble somewhat Josh Allen.
Brad, we'll throw it to Monday night, Saints-Chiefs, and watching all four Chiefs games and watching the Saints. You looked at Chiefs. Isn't this almost a mirror image of a year ago with them? But they really struggled on offense early last year. They were carried by that defense. It's still being carried by that defense. And, you know, you lose two starting receivers and your starting halfback, and you can see another year on Kelce has taken away some of his skills. He's still good, but maybe not the elite player that we had grown accustomed to. But you get in a close game, Mahomes figures out a way to win, and that defense, man, they are good. They lose people each and every year. They lose Willie Gay to the Saints. They trade Snead away to the Titans. And, man, they get after you. They are physical, tough. And I give Spags a lot of credit. Man, he dials it up when he needs to. Great calls on the defensive side, the football. But I really think the Saints got a shot here on the cover because of the fact that if you look at those four games that the Chiefs have played, man, they ain't blowing out nobody offensively unless you help them. Now, the Saints helped Atlanta last week, so you can't have that happen again. But I think the Saints keep this close against Kansas City.
I say fly the fleur-de-lis, baby. They're a live dog. I think they can win this game outright, quite honestly, in hostile territory there. Full-throated fan base inside of Arrowhead Stadium. They're always rowdy and raucous in their own right. But the Saints are just a better team on paper, and really with the eye test as well. Mahomes on the struggle bus right now, and, you know, losing Rashee Rice, and we don't know the official diagnosis. You know, the original fear was a torn ACL. That has not been diagnosed yet. He's got a bunch of knee swelling, so they're going to continue to do some tests, but he's not going to be on the field this week and probably not anytime soon. You know, Kelce had a bit of a revival last week, so, you know, he's still, you know, having the blood pumped in the veins and being a very certifiable, you know, number one tight end target. But Noah Gray could be a key cog for them offensively, maybe Justin Watson down the field as well. They're going to have one of these kind of outside-the-box receivers step up to compete with the defense. It's top five in EPA per play on the season. And Alvin Kamara has just been incredible this year on the ground, really wearing defenses down. Chris Olave has certainly had his moments. Rashid Shaheed has had some massive plays. I think New Orleans, because they're the better defensive team, and right now the offense is firing on more cylinders, than a Patrick Mahomes-led Kansas City team, they're going to march into Arrowhead Stadium and win this thing in a nail biter. Mark it down now, and I'm not saying it because I'm talking to a bunch of New Orleans fans. I think New Orleans does pull off a stunner of the week and knocks off Kansas City at home.
I know it would make a lot of people happy, that's for sure. Sunday night, Dallas, Pittsburgh, and there's a recipe on how to beat the Cowboys, and that's run the football at them and also get after them. That running game's not scaring everybody. And I do know one thing, man, the Steelers can get after you with those edge guys and certainly with Watt coming off the edge. Steelers 2.5-point favorite going up against Dallas. Your thoughts?
Lay the chalk. I think they're going to handle business, and it could be by double digits, quite honestly. This Dallas team is just so bland. They're just tofu right now, pretty much across the board. They're not killing it offensively. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb is a du jour. He can do everything. He is fantastic, no question about it. They don't really have a true number two. Sometimes it's Brandon Cooks. Sometimes it's really Jake Ferguson, the tight end, or Jalen Tolbert has had his moments. And you're right, they got this backfield, and they're kind of starting to shy away from the committee approach and starting to lean on Rico Dowdle, but he's just so average, yeah. Right? They're not getting it done any way, shape, or form, in my estimation. They're still outside the top 25 EPA per play defense. I'm going to take the Steelers here. I think Justin Fields is going to have another killer game this week, multiple touchdowns. Najee Harris may find the zone as well. George Pickens will do some damage in the pass game, and defensively, Pittsburgh is just relentless, and I think Dak Prescott's going to succumb to the pressure there on the road with the terrible towels flying through the air. So lay the chalk all diggity day long, baby, with the Steelers.
Brad, you've done this a few years. To watch Derrick Henry at 30 years old do what he did Sunday night. I mean, he's an anomaly as a player. I mean, he really puts his body through a grind in the offseason to get himself in shape, but there aren't a lot of 30-year-old running backs, and I can't compare him to anybody over the last 10 years or 15 years. That 6'3", 250 pounds, was a former 100-200-meter sprint champ, and you saw just how fast he outran everybody Sunday night. You are watching something special in Derrick Henry. I'm not sure we're going to see something like this for another maybe 10, 15 years again, to see a big back who's that fast and can take all those hits. Now, he lays a lot of them out too, but, man, he takes some shots and he keeps on after you each and every play.
Yeah, he's a faster version of Brandon Jacobs, the old Giants.
Yeah,
back,
I agree.
Right?
Brandon grew up not far from where I live.
Yeah, went to SIU, played at Auburn as well, and a guy that had a pretty damn good NFL career. I nicknamed him the football Frankenstein because he was so freakish with his side-speed combination, and it applies to Derrick Henry. I mean, he hit, what was his top speed, 21 miles an hour, I believe, on that long run for a touchdown that he had last week. One of the best in business in yards after contact per attempt. Every time he reaches the second level, if you're a DB, you got to make a business decision. Do I try to cut him off at the legs, or do I try to, dare tackle him up top and know that I may have his shoulder displaced and miss multiple games and maybe paychecks down the road? I mean, that's a decision you ultimately have to make in the open field, try to wrap up and take him down, Derrick Henry. He's number three right now in total missed tackles force. He's just a freak of nature, and he is going to do nothing but work this week. Cincinnati, number 28 in rush EPA defense. There's a player prop already available on Henry. Over under 84.5 rush yards right now at BetMGM. Over and over again. I think it's three in a row century mark efforts for the modern-day football Frankenstein, who is just a beast.
Yeah. Brandon Jacobs' son, wait till you get to see him play. He's a big offensive lineman. Senior year of high school, he's going to Clemson. He's 6'6", I guess about 315 pounds. And Brandon's got another one that's going to be every bit as big. So that's some Jacobs that'll be hitting college football. But his oldest son is verbally committed to play at University of Clemson. So we'll see about that down in the future. Brad, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Muchas gracias, amigo. Enjoy the action this weekend.
All right. Thanks a lot. That was the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider Brad Evans. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Man, I wish we could get Brad a little bit more, kind of whooped up to do these.
I don't think he has enough energy.
Yeah, man, he got a lot of. So thank you, Brad. We appreciate it. We'll be back. It'll be our triple option feature. I'll be joined by Steve Geller. Cullen Steele will also chime in on a few things happening in the sports world right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, it's our triple option feature. joined by Steve Geller, Cullen Steele. Steven, throw it to you first.
Well, guys, I know the big buzz around the NFL and here, honestly, because the Saints are involved, is the trade for Davante Adams being speculated where he's going to end up. The Jets and the Saints are the two teams that have been mentioned in the front running. Well, on The Facility, that's a show on Fox Sports, hosted by Emmanuel Acho, LeSean McCoy, James Jones, and Chase Daniel. Emmanuel Acho asked Davante Adams' former teammate James Jones about the situation, and here's what he had to say.
James Jones, if there is one team, one team that Davante Adams should want to join, just one, what team is it?
It's the Saints. It's the Saints for me. Get back with your brother, Derek Carr, who you had an all-pro season with. Right? The dude that raised you, a lot of people don't know, Keith Williams, is the receiver coach at New Orleans.
What do you mean raised you?
Elaborate. Raised him. Coached him at Fresno State, was a father figure to him at Palo Alto High School in the Bay Area. Boom, boom, boom.
A lot of familiarity there. It's always, you know, you talk about it's who you know. He could be pushing towards trades to get back with not just Derek Carr, but the wide receiver coach now here in New Orleans. Very interesting, I thought.
Yeah, that connection. We talked about it earlier with Keith, and Davante has always spoke the highest volumes about his relationship with Keith Williams. Again, though, we're talking about it with Deuce. I think this comes down to the money. Yeah, that's going to play a part. It
right.
does with anything, but you can always make that work. How much I got to give up, and also I got to look through the telescope. How this is going to work in the future, 2025, 2026.
Seems like a one-year deal with him.
It ain't going to be no one-year deal. I'm not giving up. If for 1 year,
right, I'm
no
not
way.
Just going to let him walk after that.
No,
I hear you.
That's not going to work. So can you make that all work? And I think that's going to be the crux of the deal. I think if there's one team that would overpay, Jets. Because of Aaron Rodgers and
their chips are definitely all in, right?
Because if this don't work, you're going to have to blow everything up and start from scratch. So I think, you know, if knowing a little bit of Aaron Rodgers is makeup.
Right.
You know, he's in the ear of Woody Johnson saying, you know, Mr. Johnson, please trade for Davante Adams.
Interesting note, too. Adam Schefter pointed out Davante Adams not expected to play Sunday against the Broncos due to his hamstring injury. Right. Shocking, like you said.
Cullen?
All right, guys. Kevin and Chalmette, if you're listening, I'm sorry. Your Dolphins are not looking too good. He's not on a call line or anything, but if he's listening, Kevin. he always calls us about Dolphins questions. We're, you know, we're Saints affiliation. Okay, we have some information, but not enough. And what I've got for you today, Kevin, is terrible. Here's a stat I saw on the ESPN coverage for Monday Night Football between, what was it, Dolphins and Titans? It was a nasty game. But through the first four games in the last 20 seasons of the NFL, only four teams, through the first four games, have had zero offensive plays where they led. And the four teams are 2005 Houston Texans, who finished 2-14, 2012 Chiefs, 2-14, and the 2017 Browns, 0-16.
Ouch.
Now, I know Tua's coming back, and who knows, they could turn it around, but I do not. I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith. I really don't.
Me either.
That's some brutal, you know, end of season records right there. There's a certain trend, obviously.
They have not led for 1 second.
The only game they won, because the week one win against the Jaguars was a
game-winning field goal
as time expired. So, like, they literally haven't had a play where they led.
No, it's unbelievable. But, you know, that. You sometimes you got your saddle around a bad horse, and without Tua, they can't run. We had talked about this earlier. Houston Astros have been eliminated, ending their streak of seven straight ALCL appearances. That's remarkable. You get in there seven straight years and get eliminated, but the team that eliminated them, that they the story, because on August 11th, the Detroit Tigers were 55 wins. 63 losses, 10 games out of a playoff spot. Their chances to make the postseason, 0.2%. Since then, they win 33-13, and they swept the Astros.
Never say never. Like that's
talk about getting hot.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
And we see it in baseball. We've even seen it in the college baseball world. Sort of the same thing. Man, a team gets hot. And you don't want to catch them, but you 55-63, and then you go on a run of 33-13. That man, you really scarling at this stage so to speak. But that normally comes to an end. You know, you can hear the train hit the brakes on that. But man, congratulations to the Detroit Tigers. And man, if you in Detroit today, you're pretty happy, right, with the Tigers and the Lions.
Nice little change of fortune for over there.
Change of pace, because you know why? The last quarterback to win a championship, and he'll be the first to tell you, Bobby Hebert with the Michigan Panthers. You know, in Bob's rookie season with the Michigan Panthers, he won a championship there. It's just unbelievable. And those people there, they have supported that team through a lot of bad. A lot of bad baseball, a lot of bad football. And they're still getting a little bit – well, they're getting more than a little bit of bad with the Pistons. But they had a run there, too, with the bad boys. Man, they were entertaining to watch, and they were really, really good. So maybe they can change the fortunes of the Pistons, too. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number two of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, ending our number two here on Sports Talk. Mike Dettay along with Steve Geller, Cullen Steele handling things behind the scenes. And Steve, I think we in the sixth inning here between Kansas City, Baltimore, if I looked right, and we'll have to make sure to get the numbers right on that. I think it's 2-1.
Yeah, that's right, Deb. Yeah, that's right. It's the mid-seventh inning, 2-1, still Kansas City.
And so, man, it's tight. Really tight there.
KC can close it out tonight.
Yeah, KC can close it. Yesterday with a win. So, yeah, 2-1 in the middle of the seventh inning. So, see if the Royals can do it, too. And that's another great story, right. Kansas City. We talked about Detroit, but another unbelievable ride for Kansas City this season. Steve, when you look at Saints-Kansas City for Monday night, I think the big key is you got to hit some chunk plays downfield. I just got a feeling that, you know, this is probably going to be a low-scoring game, but you got to be able to hit that big play downfield, get some points on the board, and then put all the pressure on the Kansas City's offense to score, which they've really struggled all season long.
Yeah, it's really amazing. You talk about, obviously, the injuries on the Saints' side of the ball. We've seen this Kansas City Chiefs offense just get decimated, right? Like you said, I think they're going to have Clyde Edwards-Helaire back for the game, but we'll see what he ends up doing.
And Clyde had some time off dealing with some, you know, off-the-field issues, and we hope Clyde's man, he's a good dude in life, really, really is, and fighting some things that, you know, we, I guess some people really have difficulties with, but he's a really good dude in life. Just that he's had trouble, but Pacheco is such a good player.
Oh, man.
Man, he's really difficult, and so, you know, you got the big running back from UCLA trying his best.
I just remember Coach O saying about Helaire that he's 5'8", but he plays 6'2".
Oh, and 400 pounds. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.